Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Kicks and Giggles Show, where we promise to tease your temples, soothe your sensibilities, and make your mouths water all at the same time. I am your host for this takeover production, the S Dot, and you can find me kicking it with my friends each week. They are none other than our real actual host, the vivacious Miss K.
What's going on, everybody?
Our beautiful ATL correspondent, Miss Gina Moe.
Dynamo representing the 404. What's good, y'all?
And my brother from another mother on the ones and twos, none other than DJ DVO, Mr. Why Not.
You already know what's popping. Why not? Let's get it popping, y'all.
Tonight, y'all, I get to take over this and talk about what I want to talk about, which is why we're doing takeovers, and you'll see a couple of more takeovers across the next couple of weeks. And so tonight, we'll be talking about the church and dating. Many black folks have robust senses of faith and at the same time find themselves playing in the dark, literally. Some of us try to keep our legs closed and call our desires temptations. Others of us have just reconciled that we going to be real nasty and at the altar at the same time. And still others are like they just give up and would prefer for the church to stay out of their dating lives. Where do you fall tonight? Are you a Holy Ghost girl / Holy Ghost boy trying to hold it in for marriage? Do you have one foot in the church and one in the booty? Or are you like, I'll write a little later. We're going to get right into the discussion when we return. But for now, let's start the night off as always. If you want to participate in the conversation, hit us up on Facebook page at the Kicks and Giggles Show. Again, the Kicks and Giggles Show. You can call us at 713-955-0821 and press 1, or hit the link to open up our chat room. You can always tweet us live at KNG Show as well. And again, that's at KNG Show. And we'll do our best to get your comments throughout the show. The lines are now open, so don't go away. We're starting our night out with a little trap gospel with none other than Erica Campbell with I Love God. You're in the spot on the Kicks and Giggles Show on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
I love God.
You love God? What's wrong with you?
I love God.
You love God? What's wrong with you?
I don't think that I can live no other way. Truth be told, I'm living now on an A. Not to see them blessings in the modern day. The Lord I serve, He give them to me every day. I'm forgiven, I'm forgiven. See, I haven't been forgiven, now I'm living. And when I say I love, I mean it. Cause none of this ain't nothing if He comes in, I listen,
Lord. I love God.
You love God? What's wrong with you? I love God.
You love God.
What's wrong with you?
Love Him, I love Him. Love Him, I love Him. Love Him, I love Him. Love Him, I love Him, I love Him. Love Him, I love Him, I love Him. Love Him, love Him, love Him, love Him, love Him, love Him.
You ain't got the money moving by yourself. And you know you did it with a lot of air. You know it's only one, it ain't nobody else. You got me talking strong and I ain't rich, I'm talking well. See, I'm forgiven, I'm forgiven. See, I have been forgiven, now I'm living. And when I say I love, I mean it. But none of this be nothing if He comes in, I'm missing y'all.
I love God.
You love God? What's wrong with you?
I love God.
You love God?
wrong with you?
Love him, I love him. Love him, I love him. Love him, I love him. Love him, I love him, I love him. Love him,
I love him, I love him, I love him. I love him. Love him, I love him. I love him, I love him. See, welcome back to the Kicks and Giggles Show. This is the S Dot, and if you're just joining us, you can join the conversation through our chat room, Facebook, or Twitter. Tonight we're talking about your sex life and your saved life. And as a church boy, I often find that the church's messages about sex, love, and relationships are often too shallow. There's an expectation that everything leads to marriage or to the altar. And tonight, I want to know if anybody else feels like what they learned in their faith community or church gave them the tools to function or understand how to make sense of sex and relationships. So tonight, we're talking about can you be saved and be sexed at the same time? So what are y'all thinking tonight? Gina Mo, Ms. K, DVO, what are your initial thoughts tonight?
Well, I'll start by saying I don't know if I should be sexed and saved at the same time, but I think you can. I know you can, but but I don't know if you should. I mean, you know, I have to be real. You know, if people that know me personally know my father's a pastor, and I would never do anything intentionally to disrespect him or my family. But the truth of the matter is, you know, this is a real issue. This is something that people, especially once you get to a certain age, you're dealing with, because if you have ever tasted of the fruit and learned that it was good, then, you know, it's something you have to face, you got to deal with. So I don't know. Other people might feel differently.
Gina, what you thinking? What you thinking about the topic in terms of, can you be saved and be getting it?
Technically, no, being a person who believes in faith, I know that that is a huge conflict. But being a person who God is still working on, whenever I was in that particular phase of my life, I know that that is really hard to do. As a sexual being, I don't know if I will be able to honestly say that I can. I waited for marriage, which I know that I did, but now that I'm married, I can turn up all the time. So I would just encourage everyone to get married. Go ahead and get married.
Damn you, sexual,
and be Christian at the same time. Okay, mm-hmm. I walk into church with my head up high now. But before, maybe not so much. I'm married now.
Well, being that I'm the only single person on the show, I guess this show was really made for me. Pray for me. He's not through with me. Pray for me.
Yeah, me either. DVO, what you thinking, man? Do you think you can be? I mean, do you think the church equips you to be able to have to understand how relationships work in the day in this modern day and age, or do you think they it let you down? What are your thoughts about the situation?
Before I ask that question, I must say this right here. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is
God
good.
Is. Yes, he is.
Now we could talk. I'm just glad my God is a forgiving God.
Praise him. Thank you, Jesus.
Because, even though I am getting married, we all have not waited until we get married, and I do believe, you know, the flesh is weak.
Mm-hmm.
I know what the Bible say, but, you know, we're all human and we're all sinners. And all I can say is that thank God our God is a forgiving God. I am weak in that aspect.
Thank God for that.
I was married before, and like Gina said, when you marry, you could turn up, because that's what the church preaches, and it's a good thing that they do preach that. But when you not married and you're in the process, or you're just dating, sometimes it's hard if you already had tasted the fruit, like Kay had said. But, you know, I respect everybody. No one's judged. Everybody has a path. And, you know, as long as you're honest about it and you come forth with it, you know, I believe you can deal with it how you want to deal with it. I just don't judge anybody on how they live their life.
Okay. Still very Church of God and Christ all at the same time. I mean, it sounds like most of us grew up with heavy theologies or heavy Christian thoughts around that really say to us, like, this isn't what you should be doing before marriage. So, I'm, you know, in the current day and age, we do have given the you know, the nature of some churches where they don't even talk about sex. Sex is not a topic because maybe feel convicted themselves doing a whole lot of stuff in these, you know, in the hotels, on the highways and byways, beyond the church. What have been mechanisms that really kind of helped you make sense of your sex life? And with me, you know, a church boy definitely for sure, but my family was not a family that was shy away from the conversations around sex. So we grew up with being able to ask a lot of questions and think through a lot of things, and I think my family was a little bit more progressive in that time. But they did not, I think where the church did not prepare me to think about it, neither did my home life. And maybe it was because I was going to a church where the pastor was afraid to touch out, to say anything more than don't do it. We just didn't get a whole lot of conversation around that, about like how to make sense of it. I'm wondering if y'all, better things, like what did y'all get? Just questions about what you're thinking.
Well, I find it very interesting that, you know, in the church, it's not something that's really talked about, at least when we were coming up. It wasn't something that was encouraged for sure. But the statistics say that 88% of Americans who are religious in their married life are very happy regarding sex. So you would think that they would promote that in the church. And I feel like it's a contradiction because of the high percentage of people who are believe in the faith and that they are married and they are, you know, have sanctioned sex, if you will. It seems like they will promote that in order to promote that kind of lifestyle to people who want to have sex. Like, you know, it just seems like common sense to me, whereas it is a taboo thing in most churches, especially in the Black community.
What do you guys think? I was just going to say, you know, I would really agree. I think that a lot of times, you know, outside of the church, you know, it really depends on how your parents feel about it. So if your parents are super duper saved or just scared and really, really super duper traditional, then, you know, it's kind of going to go, it's going to skew how they raise you. You know, like my mom, for example, she was more of the do as I say, not as I do type. And so although she was kind of beating us over the head with don't do, we were watching what she was doing. And so I think that kind of gets ingrained in you. And then as you become an adult, even though you have so many convictions about it, because in your mind you're hearing the words don't do, you're still playing out what your inhibitions and what your desires are saying. So that's my thought, you know. Hey, again, what do I know?
No.
Everybody got a good point. My view is, like Sean said, I guess it's how you were raised and how you were brought up. The only people that were married on my side of the family was my grandmother and my uncle and my aunt. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people were divorced. My mother and parent, my parents weren't married. They would have what's called common law marriage. So me growing up, if you live together, you call the person your wife and you call the person your husband, whether you got the ring or not. You know, so I guess it's all how you were brought up. But as I went to Catholic school my whole life, and then you start learning things that you're not supposed to have this before you get married, and this before you get married, it's like it's contradicting. Because I know a lot of people who are not physically married but been together for years. Or they live in the center, or does it work for them? Now, I know some people who have been married, and they are devout Christians or devout churchgoers, and they only third or fourth marriage. So, like, what's really going on? I guess it's based on how you raise and how you deal with things. So, like I said, once again, we can't judge people. I'm glad we actually switched the topic this week. And, Sean, you hit the nail on the head with this one. I'm glad we went this route because people are afraid to talk about this.
Right.
I guess it's based on how you was raised and how you were brought up. So, like, on my aspect, my mother and father weren't married. They all rest in peace right now, but they call each other husband and wife. So that's how I was brought up. But even though I was married and I am divorced, But I do remember hearing pastors say, like, you know, don't do it until you get married. And if you are shacking up, get married. And then everything will be okay. So I guess it's all just in the mindset of how you were brought up.
And, you know, I mean, and it's funny because, you know, I think, you know, most people don't know that I've gone to seminary and, you know, and so for me, I think it's the, at least what was surprising when I got to seminary was that the theology around marriage and sex is really interesting because, like, some of the things I think we're taught are actually not necessarily always as biblical as we have assumed they have been. Or just they're not totally bound in biblical doctrine. And so, you know, imagining that your body is totally sinful, right? Imagining that we are just totally sinful creatures is kind of a messed up way to live out your life if you think that everything that you are is bound up in sin. And the word declares, or God declares, that, you know, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. So, like, it's hard to reconcile, you know, like, what is, and, you know, and God says in his word, you know, the bed is undefiled. And what do we mean? What is all of this? What is all this different language? And then we look at the messed up ways, if we're really thinking through the Bible, right, the messed up ways that people get married, right? They have to get married. Like, you got to marry your mama and your auntie. And we got handmaids. And we got, you know, children mm-hmm. who get kicked out of the house. And so, there are ways in which the way it's not real clean in the word either, right? You got lots of rape. You know, Regina, kick in. Kick in, Gina Mo.
Yeah, okay. So I really, really like where you're going with this as far as the traditional idea of being married. And I just wanted to add that there's a lot of fluctuation as to once a person gets married, are they of the same faith? I think that that's a point that needs to be brought up as well, where Match.com had a survey that they did on singles as to how important the potential mate is to being of the same religion. Mm-hmm. It's 71% of men and 60% of women responded mm-hmm. that it's not important to be of the same faith.
Right.
That goes back to our other show where we were talking about being unequally yoked. I feel like that's a conflict that's waiting to happen. If you're not of the same faith, you know, unless you are, neither one of you are devout or really, you know, involved in your religion, maybe it'll work. But for the most part, that's something that you have to kind of be on the same page with. And that just goes back to the traditions within the Black community where it comes to religion. I mean, how can you bring home a religion that is not of your faith or the faith that you were raised in to your grandmother, introduce mm-hmm. this Hindu to your saved, sanctified grandmother, and how is she going to look at this dude with this doll on his head, like, you know, what's really going on? How are you going to really kind of bring or mold that person into your family? It's just something that needs to be considered when you're out there, you know, looking for a potential mate.
And, go ahead.
I was just going to add to what she said. You know, for me, I believe the litmus test is this. If you're in a relationship or married or whatever and you're of different faiths and you have children, let something happen to your child and we're going to see who you call on. We're going to see.
Okay.
I mean, real talk, you know, because, you know, when the chips fall, you know, people can say they don't believe or they this or they that, and that might be true. You know, I'm not gonna argue that point, but all of our upbringing comes back up when it gets down to the wire. When there are issues of life that have nothing to do with sex that come into play, you know, when real things happen, when you're short on your money, when you need a miracle in your life, when you need this, and people can say, oh well, I got lucky. Damn that. You know, I'm not one of those people that thinks that there's such a thing as luck. I think people believe mm-hmm. that just because they're so, you know, ingrained in, you know, whatever. But I think you almost get in a near fatal car accident. The first thing you're gonna do is grab a steering wheel and yell Jesus. That's right. Sex. So,
well, let me mm-hmm.
There's
Ms.
power
K,
in that name.
Miss K, you asked a good question, but maybe let me play devil's advocate just for a second. Do you think that we put too much emphasis on sex next to our faith? Does anybody think that we do that? Maybe we're making a mountain out of a molehill since God created sex anyway. So like maybe we're making
it,
are we making too much of it?
I wonder that all the time because, I mean, anybody who's taken some time to read the Bible, if you've read Song of Solomon, it's full of sex, you know.
Yep.
Yes. And not just Song of Solomon. There's a lot of books in it. Yes, yes. If you're sitting up under
yep.
a tree and I'm partaking of your fruit, I mean,
right.
tell me what I'm doing.
How you going to do with it? How you going to do that without eating?
That's the only way
yep.
to take fruit. If you take a bite. But
you gotta put your tongue on it.
But I think, you know, there's so many other books in the Bible, you're so nasty, that, you know, tell us about things that were happening. I mean, when you think about the story of Tamar, she had a baby out of wedlock. I mean, and if you really want to get real with it, she had a baby with her father in law. So come on. There's so
yep.
many things that happen sexually in Bible days that are so contrary to what we grow up being told and what we grow up believing, that it's hard. It's really hard to live a life that is super squeaky clean when if you are reading the Bible and you are believing what the Bible says, and I'm saying you should, if that's your faith, then it's a contradiction of sorts. I think Gina... Jenny, what you got to say on that?
I'll just be honest with you. I had to discover the Song of Solomon on my own. It was never discussed in any church I've ever been in, period. And that
well,
goes back to my earlier point.
How
he just skipped over that
point. Have good sex.
Well,
I think Song
I
of Solomon
like...
happens in marriage, in like those marriage groups. You know, like
exactly.
in marriage ministry. Yeah.
Well, I feel like that is something that, you know, young adults need to look forward to. If it was discussed in an open forum with, you know, as a subject of a sermon, for instance, at the 11 o'clock service, then I think that the young adult people might have something more to look forward to instead of, I mean, we're already, you know, confused during that time and having all of these sexual thoughts and hormones are going crazy and different feelings that are going on. But no one in the church gives you an idea of what to look forward to. Like, and I think that's on the large side of things, I think that's a lot of the reasons why a lot of young adults give in to the, you know, temptation of it all, where they go ahead and have, you know, premarital sex because they feel like it's something that, you know, they need to have right now. Whereas if someone were to be real and really discuss the beauty of being married and how awesome it feels, you know, being in love with the person that you're having sex with and being in covenant with God while you're doing it, if they could just highlight that, then maybe more young adults would wait. I'm not saying that everyone would. I'm not sure if I would have even. But the point I'm making is we might be able to reach more people in the Christian faith. That's the only one I know of I can speak, you know, clearly on. If we were to be real and honest and to discuss those kind of hard conversations, you know, with the young adults when they're going through those types of hormones and changes. That's all I'm saying.
You guys, we got a comment in the chat room, a couple of comments. Our faithful Greg Frog says, man, with all due respect, the church is full of hypocrites. Half the people live double lives, so who are we? Who are they to judge? And then he also said, freak on Saturday night, saint on Sunday morning. Get out of here. What y'all got to say about that?
Bitter party of one, bitter party. No, just kidding. we know the church is full of hypocrites. We know the church is, yeah, but
yes,
the church is made for hypocrites. the church is made for people who are messy and have messed up lives. Like, I don't know. I think it's the other thing that we expect is that everybody in the church is going to be perfect. And people in the church are not perfect. I mean, God tells us that they're all flawed. And I do think that there is a way in which we don't, like, I think Jeannie Mo said it best. Like, the church has to do a better job of talking about the beauty of sex and marriage and relationship and stop acting like it's not happening. And I think, like, but I also believe, like, you know, there are very difficult places to talk about, right? Do you engage in threesomes? Do you have oral sex? Do you have anal sex? What does it mean when the bed is undefiled? Do you participate in the
finger in the booty.
Oh. Hey, Kanye.
Booty.
Stay over there.
So, you know, I mean, you know, do you have, you know, I'm not saying, you know, let me, I ain't judging nobody about their little stuff, but what I am saying is, I think you're right. I think that we have to do that. And I mean, and I don't think just young people need that kind of conversation. I think old people with Viagra need that conversation because they are one of the fastest growing popular groups of people to you know, that have sexually transmitted diseases. I will, DVO, chime in on this. What you think, man?
I agree with our chat room compadre. That's been my man for the last 3 weeks. But I wouldn't call them hypocrites. I just call them people just, you know, doing what they want to do and then going to church. Because the same way you do what you want to do, you got to go to work. Some people do what they got to do on Saturday and go to church on Sunday. I don't, like I said, I don't judge anybody. Like I said, I went to Catholic school, so my view is a little bit different. But then again, you shouldn't feel guilty about what you want to do. I believe God created sex to be pleasurable. I think the marriage part is something different. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
I don't know how to put it quite into a phrase. I just think it's more political and more government involved when you have marriage and you got to do this, you got to do that. But the Bible,
sure,
if you love your partner, if you have a partner, it's all good. When you get married, you get divorced, and you talk about money and all that stuff, that's the government part of it. That's when it gets indignant and stuff like that. But I don't think there was many marriage ceremonies going on back in the day. I think people just were like, this is my wife, this is my husband, we're married. So in that aspect, but if you have multiple, you know, because then you go to the Mormon aspect where you can have multiple wives and it's accepted. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So there's a lot of things. You can't just blame religion or blame anything. I believe if people are sexually active and they're in love with their partner, I believe it's all good.
DBL, funny enough, there are lots of emerging theology around love and marriage being pulled apart, and that marriage is about government, exactly what you're saying. It's about government and not necessarily about covenant as we've been taught to believe. Marriage can be about covenant when you got two people who believe in the same God and same focus, but mm-hmm. it is ultimately about taxation and property and owning women and property.
I believe that. I believe that's why they have the ceremony. You got to sign papers. You got to sign that. Because back in the day, it wasn't no 50-50. There was nobody breaking the divorce. There was no divorce. As
right. And white
popular,
people couldn't get married in this country until after emancipation, until we were, I mean,
exactly.
Well, after, you know, after, you know, until mm-hmm. you know, the war between the states
and
ended.
Let me backtrack.
Well, let me just say, add this other fact regarding divorce and separated people. Of the divorced and separated people, they admitted, 61% of them admitted that they never attended or hardly ever attended church.
Mm.
So, I mean, I think that has something to do with maybe
covenant.
You know, the fact that they're divorced and not being and only 25% of the actual people who are still married seldom or never go to church. I think that, you know, that's a huge comparison to make.
Gina Mo,
I would have
you
to
know
agree.
You got to go to
think,
church.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, Gina Mo, you know you got to go to church to deal with a spouse.
That's true. That is a fact.
But and you know what? That's a great point because I was going to say, you know, I think Gina Mo was saying earlier how, you know, we should be in the church, and it should start at the church as far as teaching young people about the wonderful pieces of sex and how, you know, it's great when you're married. But how many of us know that sometimes the the people that are married that are in the church are not happy in their bedroom. And maybe they feel like, you know, they're not getting, they're not being satisfied at home. They're not getting, you know, maybe they ain't getting their back blown out the way they want to, or maybe, you know, it's just gotten old and it's gotten complacent. And so they can't see themselves really teaching anything that's accurate because they don't know themselves. They don't, you know, they don't wear the sexy lingerie. They don't wear, you know, the apron with just heels on while they're cooking in the kitchen. So
they don't get no good head game.
They don't get good at it. So you know what I'm saying? It's all, you know, that's how it is. But we're going to get back into that conversation in a minute. Right now we are going to take just a moment, just a little bit of a break, and we're going to skip to my boy Neo with Religious. It's the Kicks and Giggles show, y'all. Come back with us.
And the way God intended us, I'm talking about nothing on but a smile and a little bit of sweat. And when we made love, and it got me singing, ooh, oh, your body makes me go, yeah. I throw up my hands, say thank you to the man, cause just to touch you is a blessing. And I'm glad I can, all I can say,
on the convo. We've been talking about what it means to be sexting and saved at the same time. Neo has just said that you got me religious, hallelujah, hallelujah, but I don't know.
Hallelujah,
you know,
hallelujah, pretty baby.
I think Jesus is on the main line. I don't know if Jesus is pleased, but and as always, Gina's got a few gems that we want to launch into our controversial conversation for the evening. So I'm going to ask Gina, where you at tonight?
Right here, y'all. I have a little controversial gem for you guys this evening. And just going to launch right in. Of 8 couples that lived together before marriage, 4 of them will split up and they will not marry. Of the 4 that will marry, 3 of them will divorce. If this is the case, then how does one reconcile living together in the hopes of marriage one day? I mean, as a person who lived with my husband prior to marriage and struggled with being a Christian while doing so, let me just say that as hard as it was, I feel it worked well for our case. I mean, it provided a more intimate environment for us while we were growing and establishing trust in one another. And through our day-to-day situations that we would encounter, it really made us solidify our union. So
I just want to be the first to admit that it may not be for everyone, but a Christian or a religious person in general, regardless if you're going to shack or not, will have marriage as a goal at some point. So with this in mind, here's some tips that one should keep in mind while dealing with a relationship that's transitioning into marriage. Number one, marriage is worth the investment. You have to invest in your marriage in order for it to be worth the investment. Number two, choosing your marriage partner is probably one of the most important human decisions that you will ever make. Not your baby mama, but your marriage partner. So, I mean, not to throw any shade, but you might want to look at whoever you're potentially going to have sex with raw as a potential partner that you're going to have to deal with for the rest of your life. I'm just saying. Number three, most fights are over stupid things that don't matter. And most arguments are resolved when both people are more concerned with the being in a relationship than being in a being right. So never go to bed angry. Try to work things out. And instead, that brings me right into number four. Sex is essential to a marriage relationship. So instead of going to bed angry, go ahead on and have some sex. I mean, sometimes you're angry because you ain't had no sex. I'm just saying. Practice things like date nights or long conversations or trips together. Those things kind of make your marriage stronger. And number five, while you're having sex, keep in mind that while kids are awesome, they can stress your marriage. So make sure that you solidify your relationship prior to deciding to have kids. I mean, there's a lot of single parents out there, and I give y'all all the respect, but it takes two people to raise a child in most cases, and in a lot of times you really need to be careful on when you decide to have children. And last, definitely not least, you need Jesus in your life. You need to pray together. Y'all need to go to church, get connected with other married people that are in the church that are committed to building a marriage. And make sure that your foundation is in God so that that way you will always have that foundation and that backbone to your marriage and the things that you're sure to encounter throughout your growth together. And that's my gem.
Well, I'm going to go back to, I'm going to add, can I add number seven?
Sure.
Oh, give head and get head.
Yes.
Yes. Did you just say what did you say? And don't give whack head. Give good quality. Give good quality. Old good.
And I mean, don't be shy about you're doing it either.
Don't
you have to take a road trip. I mean, get it in on the road while you're in the car. Like,
find that
be
in the Bible.
I mean, I ain't trying to make nobody wreck the car, though, you know?
Yes, but, like, you should make them swerve a little, like a little.
Pull it over to the rest stop. How about that?
And people wonder why their phones blow up after hours. That's all I'm going to say. All I'm going to say.
I don't know what you're talking about, but what I was going to say, I do want to say I love your gym. But I do think, I think all of those things are very necessary. But I think for someone who's single like myself, you definitely need Jesus, and you have to just resolve in yourself. You know, you're gonna be who you are. You know, I think until you decide whether or not you're gonna live a life of celibacy or abstinence or neither of those
negative
things, then you have to, you know, you have to be comfortable in your own skin. You have to be comfortable with being safe. You have to be comfortable with being confident in what you offer in any relationship, not just, you know, sexual relationship. Because sometimes you meet people and it's just, you're just cool, you know. And because there's nothing, it's not heading towards a relationship, status or marriage or whatever, there's still that pressure and there's still that guilt that comes with it. So I think you just kind of got to, you know, you got to know who you are. If you're in church, you got to pray and you got to be led. So, you know, and if you're having sex, be safe and give good head. That's my, you know, that's my two cents.
Again, to wrap up this little segment, not just, you know, you're, for those of you who are in Ratchet Wonderland, take your ass to church. That's one. Take your ass to church. And two, if you're going to do it, be committed to doing it.
Well, listen, Esther, I have a comment from our chat room that says, I can't speak on religious people, but coming from, this is from T, coming from not shacking and marrying, then divorcing, had I shacked like I am right now, I would not have gotten married the first time. So, I mean, I think there's some value.
Ooh,
I mean, I know that this is a controversial subject. I'm just being honest with you. But I really think that, you know, in my own personal experience, by shacking, I was able to kind of get to know that person, how they pay bills, how they pick up their stuff behind them, do they throw their drawers in the corner, like really what's going on with that person on a day-to-day basis when we stop meeting the representative and we meet the real person. And
yeah,
that allowed me to feel comfortable with marrying my husband. And what Tia's saying is, had she shacked with her ex-husband, she wouldn't have married him in the first place. I think that's a valid point.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree. I personally I think it just depends on the person. Me and my wife, we did not shack. And there were reasons for us. For us it was more of where we were spiritually. But I will tell you that we spent a lot of time with each other, so we understood each other's kind of habits, so that we knew what to expect. And I think a lot of couples who choose not to you don't spend any time together, you don't know how a person lives. And I mean, and my wife says this best, is that most people need really good counseling. And so we skip that step before we go into marriage. Like, we planning a wedding, we planning all that kind of mess, but we are not really, you know, we're not really down to really invest in the relationship to figure out, like, the steps. And I think, you know, shacking sometimes works for some people, it don't work for other people. DVO, what's your thoughts on this issue?
I was just about to say that, because my first marriage, we lived together, and they were like, since you old guys already lived together, you should go get married. And they were told if marriage lasts within the first 5 years, you could get through it. Mine lasted 4, and it didn't go all the way through. And I'm engaged now, and I'm in a long-distance relationship. We don't even live together. But I think it works both ways. If you guys are living together before you get married, and you figure out each other's ways and stuff you like and don't like, it should work out, in my opinion. But then if you guys are not living together, like Sean said, you guys are real cool and close together. As you live together, you're going to have those points that I don't like to see it up, I don't like to see it down, toothpaste this way, toothpaste that way, I fold my clothes this way, I fold my clothes that way. That's what the marriage is about, learning as you grow. And then once you figure it out, it should all be good. I think people get frustrated too fast, and that's when divorce and all this stuff comes to play. Unless you know what I'm saying? I just think people just take their time in marriage, and it works out. You got people who've been together 40 years, 30 years, 20 years. You think they ain't never want to leave each other? I just believe people just take their time, learn their partner, and it all will work out. Because the sex is good, and you just can't get together because he peed on the seat or she don't fold my clothes a certain way, That's childish. I think y'all should just work it out, get through the hard times, and everything else will work itself out. That's just my opinion. What y'all feel about that?
I think that's
I agree
a very,
with you.
Very
I
good
agree
point.
With you. But I got to go back to, I mean, I'm single now, but I was once married. And, you know, like Estat said, I did not live with my husband at the time. We didn't live together before we were married, and it still didn't work out. But I feel like there was so much pressure when we did married and moved in together, I felt like I had to be perfect in every way. I felt like I had to cook every single meal the perfect way. I had to make sure the house was clean. I had to make sure the sex was outstanding. I felt like we didn't know each other enough for, you know, for us to be assured that we were the right choice. And I mean, we're divorced, so ultimately we weren't. But, and it had nothing to do with me cooking or any of that stuff. But I think there's a lot of credence in what FDOT said about counseling, especially if you opt not to live together on the front end, because counseling will help. Counseling will help identify some of those things that you are just not going to know until you're in the same space, you know. So that's my thought. But I think we have a caller,
right? Great point. Yes, we do have a caller. Let me see. Hi there. Introduce yourself. Where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm Tiffany. I'm calling from Atlanta.
Hi, well, how you doing? What's your question or comment?
Hello, hello. Well, I'm the one that's sending the pro. I am definitely pro shopping. And it is true. The first 5 years, if you get past the first 5 years, then it's, I would say the first 10 years. You get past the first 10 years of each other learning each other, then it could possibly work. You basically beat the milestone. But had I lived with my kid's father prior to marriage, I would have never married him versus the guy that I'm with now. We're enjoying each other's company. We're learning each other's ins and outs, what makes us tick, why we work well together. And marriage is a topic of discussion, but it's not a big push because we don't allow it to be a big push. It has been mentioned to us as far as when are we going to get married, but like we tell everybody, we're enjoying each other's company to decide if that's what we want to do. But, yes, had I lived with my first husband, I would not have married him. Heck to the nah. Mm-mm, not at all.
That's a great point.
I would have taken out my child support for my baby. I would have gotten trapped up with the second one, trying to save my marriage. No, it would have been Deuce's partner. Let me get my child support, and we do the co-parenting. But now I have two. I love my baby. We co-parent well, but he's not husband material.
Thanks for calling. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for your comment.
All right.
We have another caller, guys. Looks like an Al is on the line. Hold on. Al, are you there?
Will Saint?
All right. Well, it looks like they're not going to look like they're having some technical difficulties. We have another comment from our chat room. It says, it sounds good when people say they need to live with someone to know what they're getting into, but I don't think that's true. You can find out about someone by really spending time together. You don't have to get shot to realize bullets hurt. I feel you on that.
I feel you on that. You that's a valid point.
That's valid, and you know who that was. That was your homie.
Of course.
And he also said you have to want to get to know your mate more than you want to just shack with them. Hey, you're saying some good shit right now. I like that. Cool. Thank you.
Let me tag onto that right there. It ain't just, like you said, you got to know what you have to want it. I think most people get caught up in the good sex and this and that, and he do this or she do this for me. After all the honeymoons, part of the relationship is gone, and it gets down to the real nitty gritty. That's when you find out who is who and what is what. When your bills is messed up, or your car get wrecked, or need somebody to come pick you up from work, that's when you find out if the person you're shacking with is the person you need to be with. After the dick done blew you back out, after she done sucked you off all crazy, and y'all all in la la land, then you get down to the nitty gritty. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm about. If we together and we living together and we shacking together, this is forever, whether we married or not. If everybody went to divorce, you heard Kay said she tried to be the perfect person. If that person didn't respect that, they wasn't ready for that. You did what you were supposed to do. I believe everybody who was married got married for a reason. You got divorced because you felt somebody wasn't doing what they were supposed to. As long as you did your part, you did your part. This isn't 50-50. This is 100-100. So if you're shacking and you don't want it to work, don't do it. If you're shacking and it's working out that way, and you feel you don't want to get married, guess what? Don't fall for the peer pressure. Don't do it. If you guys want to get married and that's what you want to do, then you do it. Don't let the world, society tell you this is how you both live because this is how it's supposed to be. I agree with certain parts of it, but if it works for you, you do what works for you and yours. Don't let nobody talk you into it. So when people talk you into doing shit, it ain't never going to work out. It's going to be resentment. You two deal with it and forget what everybody else say. I'm going to call him back down and take my zipping down
and
now.
And DBO has spoken. Damn.
I was going to say, this is your motivational moment.
Right. Yes, that was your motivational moment. Well, thanks to all of our listeners for commenting tonight. We're going to take a quick break. And when we return, we're going to get ready for Petty Potpourri and the final words of the evening. You're in the sweet spot with the Kicks and Giggles show. We'll be right back.
Yeah. Sometimes when you're so addicted to self, you don't realize that you're hurting other people, especially the people you care the most about.
Girl, my love, you cross my heart and hopefully make you smile. Cause I don't deserve so for all the times you held me down.
Let the whole world know about my love, Jones. Love sticks, what I told the doctor. We can be more like show, but rocker. But we are more, and we've been that. When I said I do, I meant that. It's a trip that you let me lead you. Cause I'm a mess, and sometimes I need you. And I need you to understand
that I'm dying every day, trying to be a better man.
I put that on my mama. I love the way you play your part through my drama. The long nights, long flights, trips out of town. You keep my head up when it was hanging down, down. Like four flats on a lack. I let you down and you still keep coming back.
Cross my heart and hope to live to make you smile. Cause I don't deserve it for all the times you held me down.
About my baby girl, and baby girl, you're so tight, it's true to me. Sometimes I wonder why you fool with me, cause foolishly, I'm prone to hurt you. Call you grace, cause I don't deserve you.
And we are back with the Kicks and Giggles show. This has been a great show. If you're just tuning in, you're really missing out, but you can always listen to our link later. Our discussion has been all the way live tonight as we've been talking about dating in the church and more widely known as saved and sexing. But as we do each week, we're going to get into Petty Potpourri, this quick fire rapid response to a simple question of the day. The more petty, the better. So I hope my colleagues and I are ready. So this week's question of the day, or this week's statement of the day for Petty Potpourri is, I may be headed to the altar, but you need to come
because when you were praying for me, I'm sorry. I got one. Y'all know I never have one. I got one this week. I may be headed to the altar. The altar. Damn, I can't even say it. But you need to come too, because when you were praying for me, your hand went below the Mason Dixon line.
Up. Keep your hands up. Keep your hands
off,
brother.
Okay.
I made you come to the altar.
Go ahead, Gina. You go first.
I was just going to say, I'm at the altar. However, you might need to come with me because two of your four baby daddies are first cousins. So let's go on down to the front of the house. Let's make that walk together. I will walk with you.
Hey, I may be headed to the altar, but you need to come because you dry. Your throat getting dry.
You ain't right. You ain't right.
Saliva.
I'm
gonna laugh at that
one right there. And that done killed me. I'm sorry. I'm done. Anybody else? Nobody else got an I may be headed to the altar?
I mean, the dry.
I'm one
thing.
And done. You know
maybe
I don't do
potpourri.
She said the dry. It's over.
It's over, man. You need to get
it's
you some KY.
You won with that one. You win.
I think you win. I mean, you need to pray to the Lord for some extra lubrication for you. I mean,
you got to. You pray. Tell the Lord. Like you say the Lord. You need to get your stuff wet. Get your stuff. And that's how you play petty potpourri. That's how you play petty potpourri.
That's how we play petty potpourri.
Yes. So, it's all fun and games, but I want to take a moment tonight to highlight our latest segment called What's Really Good. It's an opportunity for us to give dating and relationship advice to our listeners, and beware. We're not experts, so you may get something really useful or you may get something really ratchet. Either way, it's sure to be highly entertaining. We're going to jump right in tonight with our first question, our first segment, our first opinion from Miss K herself. What's really good?
Yeah, so we have actually a letter that was sent into the email, and it says, "Dear Kicks and Giggles, I've been seeing a girl who has a boyfriend for a couple of years. I recently started seeing someone else and fell back from the first girl. They must be having problems because she's coming around more and not taking the hint that I'm not with it. I finally told her I just want to be friends now, but now she's pissed and saying my dick is hers. I'm trying not to be an asshole to her because she's cool. How do I get her to fall back and accept us as just being friends?" And this is signed, The Angler. And before we even get started, can I just say, I want to know why this person is called The Angler, but that's just me being ratchet. So, you know, what say you?
Nasty
and
ass.
Yeah, the work
nasty
of angles.
Ass.
That's why her
it's
head
nasty.
Is stone already. He working them angles, yo. He doing
he
the sides, he hitting them walls.
Acute. He's working 90 degrees, 75,
45,
48 and a half.
Okay. It is what it
he
is.
He got problems on this
so
show.
We're going to try. Let's try to help the angler tonight because, I mean, I was really, like, surprised at him sending this letter in, which I'm thankful that he did because most guys I don't think really would ask for, you know, thoughts about this situation. But, you know, how does he not be, as he said, an asshole to her? Because he thinks she's cool, but he's trying to, you know, get her to understand that he's seeing somebody else and he must be feeling the other girl. So, you know, what do you guys say about that?
He got to be a dick. If you tell
Agreed.
Somebody you in a, if
he's
you tell
right.
somebody if you tell somebody you're in a relationship and you just want to be cool and because she has somebody, her shit fucked up, now she want to deal with you, and your dick is mine, I got somebody, man. Calm down, pump your brakes. We cool.
Yep.
Either we going to be cool or we're done.
He got to
send
a snapshot of him fucking her. That's what he got to do.
Nah, he don't want that. Then she's going to go crazy and stab ties and break window because she already know where he lives. Then you going to jail.
That's the stuff that we get so
down.
Frustrated.
I get so
frustrated with these people who can't. They just don't have proper pussy management. Like, really, you should know if you're dealing with a dude not to catch feelings so quickly. I don't care how good the dick is. I mean, there are many
people. But does she have somebody?
People, I mean, I don't understand. It makes no sense to me. There's so many good dicks out there. Like, really, the odds are you can find you another good dick. You just have to work at it. No reason for you to be stalking this dude or trying to claim this dude who don't want you. Stop playing yourself. Like, really? Like, really? You're going to
I don't
be
hold
know.
On, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on.
Didn't
I'm
she sorry. Have somebody at first?
Ain't that what the
letter
say
that again?
Didn't she have
say
somebody
again?
At first? That what the letter say?
Yeah, it says, it actually says, I've been seeing a girl who has a boyfriend for, I've been seeing. You know, the English teacher is coming out at me, but it sounds like what he's trying to say is he's been dealing with this chick for a couple years, but she has a boyfriend.
See, this is reverse. He was a side nigga for a while. He stopped being a side nigga because he got somebody, and she broke up with her nigga. She got to eat that. Pump your brakes, Ma. You be all right.
But it doesn't sound like they broke up. It just sounds like maybe they're having some issues. And she's trying to hone in on her side dude, while she's having
it was all it was all good. It was all good while he ain't had nobody. And once you get somebody, you want to claim it. Fuck out of here. Kick rock.
Exactly.
But
he
all
really
I can say is a dude that's calling himself the angler is doing something real spectacular as a side dude. That's all
kick
I got to
rocks.
Say about that. So
kick rocks.
Amen.
I can't be mad at the girl for saying it's mine. You know, I can't be mad at that. So
that is straight up against the rules, though. That's against the rules. You can't change the rules in the middle of the game. That is a violation of proper pussy management. Like, you are already violating by having a man and having a side dude. Okay, but now you want to daggone try to cop block the side dude? Fuck out of here.
Fuck
He's trying to have everybody. He's trying to have everybody.
Nah.
You can't have your cake.
You can't. Fuck out
of
here. You make a DVO mad.
I'm going to calm down.
I'm with DVO. I'm on your side,
real
DVO.
Advice
you,
for this guy.
I'm on your side tonight.
Here's my advice. Walk away and pray.
You right at that right there. Pray for her.
Walk away. I think a lot of dudes. Here's the thing that a lot of dudes not willing to admit. They like the attention of the side piece. It's why men come.
Nah.
It's why men do all this kind
oh,
of crazy
no.
stuff.
No.
Yes,
I don't
do.
Think men want that. Nope.
Men do. Yeah, we like
nope.
it. Okay. Well.
Nope.
You be different, but a lot of dudes.
They
like
psycho. Side chicks are psycho.
But you are already the side piece, brother. So, like, my thing is, but if you still in conversation with the chick, and I think, as Miss K has already pointed out, the verb tense that he used at the beginning was present tense. It wasn't past tense. It was a present tense verb, which means that he's telling you, like, on some level, he's still feeling like he's dealing with this chick. And you are dealing with this chick if she claiming your dick. You are. Thing is, if you're really serious
good
about
story.
Your relationship,
good point.
Walk away.
Good point. My advice to do is stop using the angles. Like, really, you just need to daggone get your nut real quick and start having some wax sex so that her mind won't be so far gone that she feel like she can claim you and her other dude. Like, she really needs to feel like, you know, you're not that nigga right now. So you need to just, you know, bring it down. Stop eating it for 15 minutes. Maybe give her a quick little 30-second lick just to get it excited. And then, you know, get your nut and just be give her the most whack sex on a consistent basis.
This
so
is a 30-second lick.
Lick up.
So if she cannot, so she can get her mind right and realize that she needs to stop trying to cop block you while she got a whole other side dude. I'm just saying, that's my.
I guess I'm laughing.
Y'all,
I gotta breathe.
Hopefully he's listening. So you know, we were trying to help.
We're trying to help you out, bro.
I'm not a PhD, but that might help.
I think you did good.
I think you did good. She said give her whack dick. I'm done.
All right.
Niggas
well,
is not giving whack
me.
Dick
that's,
in 2016.
It is what it is. So let's
we're
wrap
not doing
up tonight.
That,
so to all of our listeners, thank you for tuning in tonight. You know, you could have chosen anywhere to spend your Wednesday night, but we're glad you're here with us in the sweet spot. Come back and have fun with us again next week. Let's just applaud S. Dot for his takeover show. Way to go,
S. Dot. Thank you very much. Thank you.
And
I'll
listen,
be here
we'll
next
be
week.
Right. That's right. We'll all be right back here next week at 10 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio. The crew will provide the kicks, and I'll always bring the giggles. We're going to end the night with a little Canton Jones, because after all, we might be silly, but we know we're blessed and highly favored.
Was a Holy Ghost girl, and when she is done singing. like a Holy Ghost pearl.
Is this how you know?
To go to church in my virtuous woman.
Just so you know, next week we continue our Takeover Series shows, and DJ BBO will be taking over with a show about long distance relationships. So meet us right back here. You don't want to miss it. This is Miss K with S. Dot, Gina Mo, and DJ DVO, the whole Kicks and Giggles crew, telling you to stay safe,
hey,
keep it sexy, and be certain to join us next week. Have a good night, y'all.
Good night, y'all.
Good night.
Tongue-talking, Bible-walking,
Spirit-filled and just to kill.
Holy girl, good God, she's a holy girl, living in her holy world, and she shines like a holy girl. We'll tell no lies, look you right in the eye, and say what's up, says the Lord.
That heaven's worth it.
And I must confess that in all this run,
she
never,
that she will stand for righteousness,
and will not be a part of me.
Sanctified,
Holy Ghost, feel, and by the time.